video games, 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 video games.
It's February 24th, 2010, and this is the Idle Thumbs Podcast, Episode 2.
And I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Steve Gaynor.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
Awesome.
I know it is.
This is number two.
This is our second ever podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Idle Thumbs Podcast.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Episode
welcome
two.
Welcome yourself.
I appreciate that. I feel very welcome.
So a lot of stuff happened in the last week.
Yeah, I think that's
true. We played a lot of video games.
Mm-hmm. It's been more than a week, really.
That's like true. You're right. It's been about 2 weeks, maybe, by the time people hear this, probably. But one thing I'm excited about, and one thing Nick Brecken would be excited about if he were still with us.
And I'm Nick Brecken.
There you go. Is Civilization 5.
Oh, it's the
was
fifth
announced.
One.
5.
Yeah, maybe I should. Maybe it'll do that in that video.
That'd be sweet.
Civilization.
A little slightly different
5.
Aesthetic. Yeah.
As, yeah, that sort of nice, classy Art Deco logo comes up.
Yeah, and right.
A big slaps butcher knife slaps blood over the top. 5.
Whoa! Civilization 5 is survival
it's not
horror.
Not your daddy's Sid Meier.
My daddy
what?
Didn't
it's
have
not
a Sid
your
Meier.
Sid Meier. Yes.
What? It's the worst marketing campaign.
Your
they
dad have, was friends with
they have
Sid Meier.
Sid Meier in like a bloody butcher smock.
Then he killed him.
Standing in a bathtub filled with blood up to his ankles, up to his knees, up to his ankles. It's very, very.
Filled up with steaks. Like
exactly.
Bloody steaks.
And then
human
he's holding
steaks.
A CD-ROM that says video game on it.
Done.
So that was an amazing rollout by 2K for the Civ 5 marketing campaign.
I know, I was very surprised. Yeah.
I hadn't even heard of Civ 5, and then I saw that ad in the magazine.
It said, oh, fuck, Civilization 5.
Yeah, I saw it in GamePro magazine, like May 1991.
yeah.
Right after the Splatterhouse 2 review.
Yeah, they sold that page to Take-Two. With the promise that it would be next to that Splatterhouse review so that, you know, they'd catch the same audience.
Yeah, it's called synergy.
Thanks, Steve.
If you knew more about marketing, I wouldn't have had to tell you that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I hear it has a hexagonal grid-based grid.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Video games.
Can't wait to get your hands on that meatball and onion.
I constructed the perfect pizza. Think about it.
Yeah. It wants to come out back outside of it again. Through some way or another. It will try its best to escape.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that meatball and onions combined will form a gaseous mixture. You're a horrible pizza saboteur, apparently.
Video games.
So what did you think about Civ 5, Chris?
Having played it.
what are your thoughts?
I'm super stoked about it.
Super stoked about it.
Yeah, it was surprising. 2K sent this whole team over to the office.
Oh, really?
The Super Soakers, yeah.
Oh, that's what those guys were doing.
Yeah, they were on like a op.
I saw them getting in the van in the parking lot.
It said Civilization 5 on the Super Soakers. That's how you
and
knew.
And then, I was super soaked after that, so.
This is the worst.
Yeah.
It's not. It's good.
That's true.
No, but I also really liked what I saw of it.
I saw like 3 screenshots.
Yeah.
But is that what you saw of it as well?
Yeah, but they revealed a lot. I mean, if you're interested in Civilization,
they revealed that it had hex tiles.
They revealed that it had hex tiles, and stuff they said says outright that it will have ranged bombardment, which a Civilization game has never had. So,
you can fire
ranged
over
units can fire across more than one tiles. Space, which has never been the case. It's always
Don't those generally like depict like hundreds of miles though, or many miles?
The scale in Civ is very loose. Yeah. I mean, there's no hard scale at all. It's very, very abstract. But it works well with the game.
So it's a unit.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But
it takes like a dude, like a caveman, like 50 years to cross one tile.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I don't know.
It's far. Right. The time scale.
Your ballistic missile could cross
time,
that.
The time scale true. Contracts as the
and
world
shoot
progresses.
An eyeball.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it looks really cool.
Which
I'm really
means that
glad
if you
that
never progress in technology, your cavemen just get faster.
Yeah, I guess I've never really tried to just sort of.
Oh, they're breeding better
stagnate my society. I wonder. I'm
sure actually, no. Isn't there a thing? I haven't played enough. I haven't played a shit ton of Civ, but I feel like I remember. Isn't it like when someone gets a certain technology, yeah, it makes everybody in the world like when they get to the next age, it makes all of your cavemen turn into musket men or something.
And your city will start to just kind of reflect
musketeers. That's a unit, right?
I think so. But no, it looks really cool. I'm really glad that they stuck with the style they did rather than. I mean, it's interesting now because they did Civ Revolution.
Sid Meier and a
Path of Full Blood. Yeah, right, exactly. No, but I mean, I'm glad that they seem to be sort of keeping the separation between the Civilization Revolution series, which was really successful, that game, and the kind of mainline PC Civilization. And then they're also doing their Civ network on Facebook. Like, they've got these three totally different, like, design scopes, which I'm really pleased about.
Have they announced absolutely whether Civ 5 is a PC exclusive?
Yeah. They've said it definitively, yeah. And, I mean, it would – the stuff they showed would not – I mean, it just wouldn't be a console game.
Yeah.
It could be a bad console game.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure it would be pretty big differences, but I could see them doing a separate version of Civ 5 on the box that was for consoles. But
yeah. If no, not, if they'll just do Civ Rev 2 if they do that.
Yeah.
But no, it looks really good. I was
Civilization Evolutions.
I was glad that they decided to stick with that kind of elegant, understated look to Civ. Like I've always really liked that about the series. It reminds me of like a wood paneled reading room or something, like in someone's nice home. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's an aesthetic that is, I think, really cool. And
it makes you feel like a classy gamer.
Yeah. It's like when you watch someone who watched the History Channel when it was a real thing. Instead of whatever the fuck weird ass shit they show on that channel now.
They have Guts on there.
Yeah.
I think they show like Animal Cops.
Yeah.
I meant Nickelodeon Guts.
Oh, do they show that on the History Channel? I hope they do not.
No. Yes. It's very stately.
The National Geographic. Yeah, stately is the totally correct word. Yeah. And I like that vibe, and I'm glad that the industry can still make that kind of thing with a budget. Like, you still get that out of companies like Paradox and guys like that who make really cool stuff.
But Civ has it is classy more so than even some other games that are. Yeah, like if you opened up Civ, you imagine the inside would look like the interface to COGS.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Those guys just won a bunch of money. Did you see that?
No.
How did they get it?
COGS is an indie game you can get on Steam or iPhone, little puzzle thing, and they entered the like GameSpot or GameStop sponsored indie game challenge thing. I forget how much they won, but it was a whole bunch of money. So good for those guys. Sweet. Jake and I were playing that on Steam recently.
Yeah, how is it?
It's pretty fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've heard some good things about it. I think I tried to play it on like my netbook, and it was extremely. Too much for
it's such all a piece of 3D. Hardware. It's the 3D-est game.
Yeah.
But
quickly to wrap up Civ 5, I did want to mention that there is a cool thing about the development of the game, which is the guy who's designing it. His name's John Schaefer, and he's like 25 or 26 or something. And he has worked at Firaxis for several years now. And when he joined, he was pretty much right out of college, and he was just like a huge fan who was part of the mod community for ages. And he worked on Civ 4. Then I think he was one of the co-lead designers on Beyond the Sword, which was an excellent expansion for Civ 4. And now he gets to actually be total lead designer guy on Civ 5.
Oh, cool.
So I think that's totally awesome. And that's very similar, basically, to the situation that occurred with Soren Johnson, who is the actual lead designer of Civ 4 itself.
Yeah.
He was the same thing. He was a pretty young guy.
And is he still at Firaxis, or did he
No,
leave?
He left Firaxis in, I think, 2007.
Right. That's right, yeah.
And he's still there. He's working on other strategy stuff there now.
But he was involved in some way. Was he, like, lead designer on one of the phases of Spore or something?
Yes, the Civ phase.
Okay. Yeah.
Fittingly.
That makes sense.
It does.
I get it.
It all connects.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess Sid Meier is just all about that, like, bringing in these young designers and giving them a game, which is pretty awesome, I think. Sid Meier's pretty much the coolest dude.
Yeah. Bringing in a dude with potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
Very cool. And so I'm excited about that. Nick would be even more excited, but he's not here.
He is.
In spirit?
I know.
Yeah? You know he's here with us? What does that mean?
I know that he's excited.
Oh, yeah.
In his house right now. He's probably... clicking through the same 6 screenshots over and over again.
Yeah, he probably is.
No, he's probably playing StarCraft 2.
Oh, that's... Yes.
Yeah.
He would.
another sweet game.
That was a really good seg. I mean, I'm not to toot
not
my
to toot
own
your horn.
Yeah.
Seg horn.
You can toot it a little bit. You can toot it a bit. Scoops. Scoops tooting his horn. I call it the Scoops horn. I toot it sometimes, too.
Ooh, what?
Wow.
Wait.
Yeah.
Well, I think we were trying to talk about StarCraft 2, but...
Oh, sorry. I thought we were talking about Scoops horn tooting.
Tooting the Scoops horn?
Yeah.
The old Scoops tooting.
Scoops tooting the horn toot, Scoop. No, StarCraft 2 is also a very good video game. I guess, like, it's the year of, like, classic strategy games returning, I guess, because...
Yeah.
Those two games, and then there's CNC4, which I actually played some of at EA the other day.
Oh, did you?
Did you beat it?
I sadly did not beat it. I beat a few missions. That counts,
which,
I guess.
Which wacky B celebrities are in that game?
Oh,
that's
I don't know.
I care about.
I have no idea.
Does it open with a dude drinking motor oil on rollerblades?
No, it doesn't.
That's the sign of a
it
true
opens with
CNC
a, it
game.
Opens with a weird,
what?
Like...
Did that happen?
That was the opening cutscene of the original CNC was a crazy montage of like the extreme future, and it has a dude like shred on inline skates, and then at the very end, right before the TV changes channels, he starts chugging motor oil.
What? I don't remember that at all. Man, that's awesome. I remember many things about the original Command & Conquer, but not that.
Yeah, you should go watch that opening cutscene.
All right.
But
anyway,
yeah, I
games.
StarCraft 2. I got in the beta for that. I've been playing it. It's really, really good. That's another thing, Nick. Jesus. Nick is probably more excited than anyone in the goddamn world about this.
Yeah, this is going to be a very different cast than it would have been if Nick hadn't moved to Maryland.
But I have been playing it, so I can sort of fill in. I played a number of games with Nick. We teamed up, did some 2v2, won most of them, lost a couple of them. Yeah. But it's a really good game. One of the coolest parts is just the Battle.net interface, which it's heavily locked off in the beta, but even the stuff that's there it's very clear this is one of the biggest reasons this has taken so long, because it's a full on like Xbox Live or Steam style thing, but just for this one game right now.
Is WoW going to integrate with it at some point?
Yes, it will. Yeah. And then Diablo 3 when that comes out. But
that wild new crazy original IP they're working on.
Who knows? Yeah. And you know,
well, when
10
Warcraft
years,
Adventures
we can play
comes
that.
Out, you'll have to unlock it
right,
through
exactly.
Battle.net.
So. Yeah.
The old thing.
But it's really good. It always reminds me, and I felt this way playing Dragon Age as well. It's always really nice as someone who plays a lot of games on the PC to play a game that was natively designed for the PC, where they can take advantage of the screen space and the cursor and actually put a lot of things on the screen at once. Like it's weird to be playing a multiplayer game with a lobby and go into the lobby and not just have the entire lobby all of a sudden be the screen. Like it's just you go in there and it's, oh, you've got your little lobby window up there. You can still keep browsing all the other stuff in the main screen. You've got your friends list over here. And it's this whole really nice integrated solution where it's very modular. Everything plugs together.
Like Winamp.
Yeah, they basically licensed the Winamp player and plugged some stats. But it's really good. The beta itself is obviously StarCraft 2. I mean, we talked about that back in the BlizzCon days in the game. Unsurprisingly, it's not changed radically since then. But I have gotten, obviously, to play it in a lot more depth than I usually did, and than I did back then. And it's interesting because the changes are not at all really to the mechanics. I mean, there are almost no changed mechanics in this game. It's all the changes are all in terms of just content. So it's, you know, the units, a lot of the units have changed. Like individual abilities changed, like balance changed, things like that. But the fundamental flow of the game is still the same. Like it's playing StarCraft 2 basically feels like playing a game of StarCraft.
Right.
Did they
unlock letting you kill children and innocents since you guys last played?
Unfortunately, no.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess they weren't willing to broach that one in StarCraft.
Yeah.
I guess they decided it wasn't worth it to code children into the game to let you kill them. They probably considered it, but
yeah.
But it's a really fun game.
I was leaving a little time there for Nick to voice his opinion.
Oh, yeah.
From home. Just leaving a little time to participate.
It's like 3,000 miles away, so we might have to wait a while.
The speed of sound, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, thanks, Nick. We couldn't hear him very well.
I heard him a little bit right there.
Oh, yeah. So what's up with everyone else?
He yelled really loud, though.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's a fun game. I don't know what else to say. I don't know. I played some games. It's kind of one of those situations where I lose a lot of them, especially because right now in the beta, a lot of the people online are the crazy people who Blizzard has in, so they can just absolutely brutally test the balance and make sure the little tiny, you know, values are tweaked the right way. But they are, you can tell they're starting to let more people in because sometimes I win games. And I have to say, it's way more stressful for me to win a game than lose a game.
Because then you know that your rank has gone up a tiny bit. Yeah, so you'll be right. facing
them. And I know that I'm not going to be able to keep going with that. Like, I'm not going to be able to just keep winning them. So whatever high I feel from winning a game, it's like, it's just
like, oh, it's, shit.
Yeah, there's a lot farther to fall when you know, right. you're on a peak. But I won two games in a row last night, which was amazing. And then I stopped. Because I didn't want to jinx myself.
Yeah. That's probably for the best.
It is for the best, yeah.
Yeah. That's but how it was when I would play Street Fighter 4 online right. on Xbox right. Live. Because, like, I would lose a lot. And then if I won, like, 3 in a row, I'd be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't want... Yeah, you kind of don't want to keep
leap
playing.
Leap up and turn off the Xbox.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah. Because you know you're not going to win the fourth one.
Yeah,
you,
no, you exactly. I would just quit the program entirely. Yeah. And Street Fighter 4 is a great comparison because that I can't think of any other recent game that is more similar to StarCraft 2 in terms of what it represents than Street Fighter 4. I mean, they're basically the exact same thing to their respective genres.
Yeah,
they're taking a game that is sort of the standard for its genre.
Yeah,
and basically just perfecting the hell out of it. It's a cool thing to do. I like this kind of thing because it gets to what Steve
Jake says he doesn't think it's a cool thing.
No, I had nothing to say. I was going to talk about how StarCraft added fat spherical man physics, but I decided to There was another point they have in common.
There is that guy in the yellow jumpsuit that's really fat.
Yeah, he was a weird Zerg unit. Yeah. I don't know, that was a strange decision.
He's got like that long ponytail.
Big clown man.
Yeah.
That was odd.
It's gross.
I don't know. Made me want to play it.
Yeah.
Well, that was their outreach to SF4 fans.
Exactly.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. But
StarCraft 2.
But no, I do like that. I do like that when that stuff happens because it does get to something that games are, you know, in general moving away from, which is the idea of just an actual game. Like a, you know, well, I mean, in the traditional sense of the word game, where it's a set of rules where you play against somebody and you're both playing by the same rules. And it's this very, like the idea that because the rule set is so... dynamic and because it in itself is so self-contained, you don't it is enough to stand up, right? I mean, it's different than a single-player game where the computer plays by different rules than you do, so you know we're constantly figuring out new ways to make that more interesting. But something like StarCraft or Street Fighter or whatever, that's like, it is the game system, that's what it is. And so to be able to say this system that we used 12 years ago or whatever is equally valid now, but we're going to make it look nicer and we're going to make it play a little better and we're going to make it smoother. To me, that's a really cool thing to be able to do and still have it be extremely compelling and totally valid as a, you know, a modern game activity. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it totally speaks to the, what am I thinking of? Kind of the value that a two-player like competitive game brings to a design, you know, it's just like, as long as you have someone to play against and there is a really good, interesting, you know, well-balanced set of core mechanics, it's basically, you know, like a board game, you know, chess or whatever, which is like, you can play this as many times as you want for as long as you want because it's not expendable. You know,
exactly.
It's totally
sustainable.
Right,
right. It doesn't rely on sort of surprising you necessarily with...
Oh, right. It's not about the content.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's why people play like the same Counter-Strike map.
Exactly. Yeah. They bounce out for 12 years now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dust is the chess of first person shooters.
Yeah. I mean, it basically is, I guess. Although,
oh, I thought you were going to say it was for real.
Oh man. Although it is, I just faked you out there. What do you think?
Oh man. Didn't know what to do.
No. Stop playing with my heart, Remum.
Yeah. The total opposite of this, by the way, is Command & Conquer 4, which I played recently.
How is it opposite?
It's just the
you
what they
changed everything.
Well, what they do in Command & Conquer and what they have been doing for a while is every game is pretty much different. Like they I mean, even back when it was just Westwood, those games were changing pretty radically each time. Steve is falling out of his chair.
I didn't fall out of my chair.
Well, you started saying that before I said it. So
I wasn't
bowled
over.
You were ready to defend
yourself. I wasn't going to... You weren't knocking me off of my feet.
All right. But, I mean, and CNC4 is the, what are you doing? You're breaking my chair.
I'm breaking your shit. I'm making a mess.
You are making a mess.
Good God. So, Chris, you want to talk about CNC?
Yeah. It's got an interesting thing to it.
Oh, nice.
I can't help looking at Steve, surveying the state of my increasingly destroyed chair.
Your chair's totally fine. Anyway, this is like good. A $15 yeah. IKEA chair.
Fuck you.
I had this chair in my apartment in
Texas. I like
Texas.
This chair. It's really
It's a totally fine chair.
All right.
That's the chair that comes with the stomping arm in the store, I think, that shows you
how Oh, it yeah.
It does?
Yeah,
it's a pneumatic arm that's pressing on it 1,000 times
per hour. Oh, I don't think they had that when I bought it.
Oh, it was there.
Believe, you have believe to buy it separately.
Okay.
So what game are you playing? CNC4?
What's up with CNC4?
CNC4 is more in tune with kind of the modern style of RTS, which is kind of the stuff Relic is doing, where it's faster-paced games.
And really guided missions, basically?
I mean, yeah, although I think StarCraft II is doing a lot of guided missions as well in the single player. But like the underlying system is based more around fewer units and a more class-driven thing, more persistent systems.
Did they remove base building?
Base building is still sort of in there, not as much as in StarCraft or something, but the way CNC4 works is at the beginning of the game, you choose a class. So you can be either offense, defense, or support. And so that totally changes the slate of units you have available and kind of the abilities you have. The support class has more wacky abilities, fewer direct units. The defense and offense are obvious. It's interesting. Like the what they're trying to do, I guess, with it is be friendlier to people who do just go into StarCraft and just get totally reamed every time they, you know, load it up and a Korean man enters their base with Zerglings. Zerglings. It's interesting. It's definitely a unique take. Like I probably won't play a lot of multiplayer of CNC4, but I'm definitely curious to play the single player and see how that stuff pans out, because you can still choose your class in the single player. Like it doesn't, you know, after the tutorial stuff, it doesn't demand you, like, you must be defense for this mission. Like it they let you kind of play that out.
There's a defense campaign or something like that.
No, there's just a GDI nod.
Sweet.
Yeah. Kane's back again.
Oh.
And they claim for the last time or the end of the series or whatever.
All right.
That's because they decapitate him on camera.
Jesus. Also, the guy who plays Kane looks exactly the same as he looked in 1995.
Yeah.
Like, he looks exactly... I was talking to an EA guy, and he said they actually tried to age him. Like, they tried to have a makeup person go in and, like, gray his hair a bit and put wrinkles on him, and it just looked really weird.
I think it's awesome that guy just doesn't age.
I know,
it's,
yeah.
It makes that character so
they
weird.
They decided it was better for the character to just leave him naturally vampiric.
Yeah.
It makes him weird and culty that he just sort of...
Yeah, it makes him seem like he has some kind of weird gene therapy that they do in their secret base or something.
Right, but maybe if they keep making these at some point, that guy will just, you know, some people do that for a while, then all of a sudden just like, boom, yeah, like 6 months later, it's like, you're old now.
Dick Clark thing, where it's just like, wow, I guess you're the same. Oh my God.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that would be really enjoyable, especially if that happened mid-shoot.
It just...
The next mission, just...
his face just kind of drops three inches.
As long as it makes that sound a little...
Oh, gross. Was that deflating?
Yeah.
It sounded like a cartoon leaf falling to the ground.
Yeah. That's his face is a cartoon leaf. CNC 7 is going to be weird.
Command & Conquer 7. His face is a cartoon leaf.
Kane is back!
That would be the inevitable thing. They would like, what is this? CNC 4? Yeah. If they say this is the last one with Kane, they'd do 5 without, and then 6 would be Kane is back.
Rise of Kane. I mean, they claim this is the expansion to CNC3 was already called Kane's Wrath. He was already wrathful. But they claim this is the end of the whole Tiberium saga, like the whole main Command & Conquer series. They claim it's done. It's a dubious claim.
Does it actually have a saga? Is there like an epic storyline to it?
I don't know if it's epic.
I thought those guys just fought each other.
Well, there's a whole thing with him at the center of it. I mean, I couldn't tell you about it in detail or anything. But
don't they have like buildings that are shaped like a scorpion tail?
Yeah, that's their shit. They've got a trademark.
Logo.
Yeah.
Scorpion logo.
Is that what the story's about?
It's probably about that.
This one time I found a scorpion. That's why I made a building look like it. It was fucking sick. It's a chrome scorpion with flames.
So
yeah, there's that. I don't have too much else to say about it. Yeah. I only played it for, but they only, it was a short event. I also, at the same event, I played the Dragon Age expansion, and you know, it's, you can't really go in and play an expansion of a huge, massive RPG
and have any idea about. Did your head twist around and then fly off?
No. Although I wish it did, because then I could have taped it and put it on Idle Videos. Video games.
Maybe we should take a break.
It's a weird episode, yeah.
That's fine. Video
games.
Go get your guitar.
Oh, see, we're back.
Weird.
Chris will be expressing himself musically for this half of the episode.
Welcome back from the break.
Thanks, Steve.
I was talking to our readers.
Oh, man. I'm sure they're thankful, too.
Yeah. What else has been going on in the world of video games for the last week or so?
This is terrible.
Oh, man. And the Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2 expansion comes out this week. I'm stoked.
Are you going to play it?
I'm going to fucking play the shit out of it. It's going to be awesome. No, actually, I think it might be a couple weeks away. Napoleon Total War comes out next week, though. God, so much strategy this year.
Was it you and Nick that were talking on Twitter about Cold War, Total War?
Yeah. And Merrick. It was
and
the Merrick. Three of us,
yeah. And Bronze. Yeah,
sadly, that game would not exist, but it would be sweet.
Cold War. Why would that not exist?
Total War
is the opposite of Cold War. I mean, factually.
Yeah, but Cold War, Total War is a good name.
Yeah. I mean, if someone were actually to make a strategy game about the Cold War itself, that would be rad.
That isn't DEF CON?
It'd be fucking hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. DEF CON isn't. DEF CON's a hot war.
It's the end of a Cold War.
DEF CON is the end of a Cold War. It's a Cold War going hot.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But the actual Cold War, where stuff like the Bay of Pigs and like Cuban Missile Crisis and shit, if that could all happen, that'd be amazing. That'd be a sweet game.
Yep.
It'd be hard, though, because everyone would just... I mean, how do you keep players from not just being like, fuck it, shoot the missile? I mean, you'd have to make an extreme like disaster condition for that to prevent people from just doing it. But anyway, whatever.
I wonder if DEF CON is less cool... or less intriguing if you were not at all alive during the Cold War. Like, I mean,
it's
I think we weren't like big around for the Cold War.
Yeah, but we all remember the Berlin Wall coming down.
Yeah, so. But I mean, because the thing that is interesting about DEF CON is just the implied decades of history before the thing that happens when new game starts.
Right.
Yeah. Though, I mean, I think that there's still a aesthetic impact of how clinical it is mixed with, you know, the death counts in the millions appearing whenever you fire a missile. I don't think you need a lot of context for that.
It's a shocking thing the first time you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys did a bang-up job.
Chilling.
Yeah. Have you guys watched the stuff for their new game yet? Subversion?
I
haven't. I saw that they released trailers, but I haven't seen it yet.
Is that the Procedural City stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. All I saw was a video of the Procedural City being built, but did they actually release any video of the gameplay?
I think like today or yesterday. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it. But
I read a thing on Rock, Paper, Shotgun where... Jim Rossinol, I think, was describing seeing it, but they still only had the video of the city appearing. Yeah. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Those guys are cool.
Basically, like it's from what I read, it sounded like the character that the player controls is like a resource, pretty much. Like you send guys in to sensitive locations to scout it and like set up, you know, surveillance and stuff like that. And if they get caught, it's a resource, and you have to send in another guy, you know, to and find the secret document or whatever you're looking for. It seemed like an interesting game, for sure.
Sweet.
I think that game's probably coming out in about, I don't know, 5-6 years. So like,
yeah. Those guys probably can't take too long, though. I mean, they probably, I can't imagine they have stacks of cash just sitting around.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they take a long time to make their games.
Yeah. What were we going to talk about? I already forget.
We're going to talk about... Bethesda.
Oh, yeah, Bethesda. Jake and I came across the knowledge that Bethesda, they have an official slogan, like a company motto, and the official Bethesda Softworks company slogan is, the more you play with us, the bigger we get. And that's a real thing.
Yeah. So that's what we were keeping from you during the pizza break.
Bethesda Softworks.
Yep.
Yeah. Softworks.
Also, that's true. Oh, worst. Man. Oh, so it's not like a for penis. Long. Oh, shit.
Oh, what?
What?
Wait, what? I didn't pick that up at all.
Video games. Video games.
Oh, right. I thought
it's
they
like
meant
video
like,
games.
They become more successful if people buy more of their games.
Right.
Well, if people play with their games more.
Yeah. Then they become big. Bigger. Their size increases.
Bethesda Hardworks.
Oh, man. Now they are, now that you've played with them a lot.
What else is on the docket, friends?
Well, Steve, you and I have been playing quite a lot of Stalker Call of Pripyat.
I thought you were about to say you and I have been playing Quap, and I was sad. We have
been playing Quap. No.
I didn't play it. I have played Quap in the past, but not recently.
Nor have I recently.
I saw on Steam that you guys were playing Stalker when I was working.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry you have to work, and we have to play Stalker Call of Pripyat.
I heard that it's good.
I'm not sorry about that at all.
Yeah, it's actually good.
Yeah.
Chris and I both had very similar introductions to that game and, like, initial impressions where we started the, you know, individually, separately, we started the game and there's kind of a pointless opening cutscene, and then you just appear in a field with absolutely
in the world, which is already this big open world.
Yeah. So there's no tutorialization. Yeah. There's no, like, reminder of what all the UI is or what any of the buttons do or what you're supposed to go or anything.
So it's a real game.
It's a real game.
Fucking game.
And we both kind of, like, ran around in it for, like, 10-15 minutes when we first loaded it up, and we're like, oh, right, I guess it's this. I don't really know. All right. And we turned it off, and we later described that neither of us really had that much of an intention to keep playing it. But then Chris was over at my place, and I was like, well, the last game that we had played, like, together, like switched
hot
off seep, playing.
Hot
yeah.
Seep. Hot seep.
We hot seeped.
Bethesda.
The toot horn or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, the last game that we hot seated on the PC was Far Cry 2, which is another open world shooter game.
Yeah.
And so
coincidentally, I mean, I don't think it was intentional.
But I think me saying, like, "Hey, Chris, we should play Call of Pripyat together," was kind of based on the fact that worked out pretty well last time we played it. And yeah, so we sat down for, like, I don't know, hour or two or more, like, kind of playing the game in shifts and handing the keyboard and mouse back and forth because my computer's hooked up to my TV. We were on my couch. And we had a really good time. It was awesome.
It was so fun.
Yeah. Just, like, exploring the world and being like, oh, yeah, there are dudes in there. Watch out. You should go around that way. Just, like, you know, kind of collaborating on the really open-ended combat and stuff. It was really interesting. It's a good game
for that because you can – it's a true open-world game. I mean, anyone who's played Stalker knows what a Stalker is. But, like, you know, it's a you just start off and there's so much stuff to do. I mean, you can – It's very well suited to two guys just sort of making random decisions off the top of their heads because, you know, you can shoot almost anyone, you can go almost anywhere, you can do a bunch of things, buy all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's just a very open game, which is what makes it hard at first. I mean, I would say probably there are people listening to this who had the same experience we both individually had, which was to get in, maybe you hadn't played a Stalker game in a while or have never played one, and the game gives you no incentive to figure anything out.
Yeah.
If you want to figure out a key, you pretty much have to go into the options and look at it in the list of configuration bindings.
Yeah. A bunch of icons pop up on screen, like little yellow and green icons on the side, and you're just like, what is what? That?
I guess there's radioactivity.
Yeah. Like, I hope that you figured out that when you get hurt, you start bleeding.
Right.
And that's what the green icon
if
with
you
the
didn't,
black
you'll just slowly die.
Drip in it means. Yeah.
Chris, on Twitter, said that you recommended this above other Stalker games. Is that
Well, because the funny thing
is, buying advice.
I
would, yeah, for sure.
It's
you, Steve. Also,
yeah.
I played all the way through Shadow of Chernobyl when it first came out, and I would definitely suggest Call of Pripyat if you're going to play any Stalker games at all.
Yeah, and the reason, well, there are a number of reasons, but one of them, and it's, you know, unfortunate that this is such a big factor in the series, but it's by far the most stable game. I haven't had a single crash or bug playing this game at all, which, you know, again, it sucks that that's, like, a big positive that this game doesn't crash, but for this series, it's a big deal.
But it also feels like the systems are the most cohesive in it, you know,
it's a very solid game.
It feels balanced, like, you find
I don't feel like I need to mod it or anything.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, there's a lot of stuff out in the world to, like, you know, loot off of guys and find, but you never feel like, you know, you're totally starved for resources or like you're just totally swimming in it, like, you know, they use their systems well to balance it. Like, you know, you can't just carry around 50 guns that you loot off of guys because you have encumbrance, so you can't get it back to the shop to sell it. And I don't know, it's an interesting, like, example of a really big, really complex, really undirected game actually having a good feel to like the economy in the world and all that kind of stuff.
Everything comes together really well. I mean, it's got a lot of systems that you don't need to pay a lot of close attention to. I mean, like all the stuff that does come up on the screen, like I've never once looked at my actual stat for like radiation resistance or whatever. I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes your guy gets hungry, so you eat some food. Sometimes your guy gets radiation poisoning, so you take the medicine for that. Like it's, you know, you, I was watching a gameplay video of it, and they were like, they were showing all this stuff. We're like, oh, and you can go into the inventory and look at all your lists of stats and this and that. You can, but you don't have to. The game does that stuff transparently enough that you only need to deal with it the same way your character does, which is, oh, hungry now, time for food.
Yeah. You can play it very reactively on that level, which is great.
Which is how it should be played, I feel.
And because it's like you don't have to monitor stuff. It's just like, oh, my armor appears to be damaged because the icon for it is up. I need to handle that next time I get a chance, you know. Yeah.
And there's all sorts of other stuff. Like there's a whole faction system that you can get invested in or you don't have to. Like it's kind of one of those things where in my case, the more I play the game, the more I'm paying attention to that. But the game never really cares if you don't.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a very resilient game in that respect. Like it's not going to break because you don't feel like paying attention to something.
Yeah. Like the difference between faction stuff is basically who aggros on each other.
Right.
And so if you don't want to pay attention to it, it's basically just, oh, I guess those guys are red on my reticle now and they're going to attack me, so I better attack them, you know, but you can try to like, you know, game it so that you're really good friends with one group.
And you can do quests for them and stuff. There was a hilarious moment where there's a particular group that just aggros on me every time at this point. And the game, it has three big open worlds that are kind of sort of connected.
Mm-hmm.
And each one has one main kind of base that's as a safe zone. It's the only place in the game where you can't bring out your weapon and you can't, you know, or one of the only places in the game where you won't get attacked and you can't attack guys. But I was in one time, and the whole world, you know, all the NPCs have little cycles they go through where they explore around and they kill things and they get killed and they do all their stuff. And a group of this faction was passing by the door. And I guess, like, even being inside the safe zone, their aggro radius on me was big enough that it triggered as they're walking by. And I was like in this building and I started hearing gunfire, and that happens sometimes in this game because, you know, maybe a guy will get attacked by a boar outside and you can hear him fighting it off or whatever. And I started to leave. And as I opened the door, there were three guys like with guns in my face, and I'm like, oh my God. So I ran back inside the thing as they were shooting at me. You know, they couldn't come in with guns, but they could shoot at me from outside. And I just kind of stayed in this building for a while, and I'm like, what the hell? Because I couldn't bring my gun out to get back at them.
Yeah.
So I eventually just went around the back, like went out a back way and like tracked around the building and like got up on a little perch with a sniper rifle and looked through. And there was this whole band of guys just like camped out in front of the door, just like waiting for me to come out. And I just took them all out with sniper headshots from there. But it was a totally like – it was just a crazy moment that only existed because of the weird interactive systems in this game.
It was emergent.
It was totally emergent. There was another amazing moment I had.
Oh, yeah? I want to hear
God, there were so many. This game is just – it's like –
No, I mean that's the power of, you know,
systems.
Emergent mechanics. Game. It's just like a bunch of stuff that's totally unexpected can happen and you're amazed by it.
And they model so many things. Like they model how much noise you're making at any given time.
Yeah.
Like when you take a footstep – if you're crouching, you make less noise. If you're rustling, moving your stuff with inventory, you make noise. And I didn't actually realize this until very late.
When you're
in the
moving
game.
Stuff in your inventory, it makes noise. Yeah. That's hilarious.
It's awesome.
Well, because that's something that's worth noting is that nothing except for the escape menu ever pauses the game.
Exactly.
So you bring up your full screen inventory or full screen map,
and the game still goes,
and the game's still running in the background. So like I have had situations where I've like had my map open and I'm looking for a waypoint, and then I just like hear someone walking near me. I'm like, oh shit. And I like close it, you know, and you have to like look around. It's like your guy was like looking at a little screen, not paying attention.
Right.
And he hears something. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's super cool. And so I actually just today before we recorded, I had gotten night vision for the first time.
Night vision's so good in this
Steve,
game.
Steve, you
it's
got
crazy.
Night vision so much sooner than I did. And I was super jealous. So I finally got it and I was stoked. And I was just in time because I had to go on this mission into this underground kind of laboratory area, and so it was all pitch black because the power was out. And I've done a lot of those missions without night vision, which is super awesome because you can only see guys by the muzzle flash of their gun and stuff like that, which is great. but it's also nice to just have the night vision and just be able to actually see things. So I went down and I'd been killing a few guys, and I finally got down to this big room in the basement with all this machinery, and I had my night vision on, and I was kind of slowly crawling through the room because my radar showed that there was a guy in there, but I couldn't see him. And I finally saw it wasn't a guy. It was this crazy, huge ass, like hulking mutant sleeping. And I, and it was on the other side of the room. And I'm like, oh my God, what? And so I crouched down in the corner of this room, and I was just sitting there looking at it with my binoculars, just staring at it, trying to see if I could get a headshot. It was facing away from me. And so I couldn't get a good headshot to sort of get the leg up.
Was it the fucking Chimera?
No, it was inside.
Okay.
Although the Chimera is cool too.
I haven't seen it. I've just heard of it. I've heard guys talking about it.
Yeah. And this was a lumpier, big sort of hulking thing. And I was under there, I was looking at it, and I was like, God, weird. Should I just attack it? I have no idea how much health this thing has. Like, if it's going to kick my ass or whatever. And I had my assault rifle and my shotgun equipped. So I was like, all right, I need a sniper rifle for this. So I went into my inventory and I unequipped my assault rifle, and I left my shotgun in there, and I put my sniper rifle in, and I heard the game do the little like click, click, click of like moving the weapons around. And right as I did that, the monster was like, and he made like a snorting sound as he woke up, and his head kind of like looked around, and he didn't look at me
because you had your flashlight off.
Because I had my flashlight off, yeah. And he just heard this noise, and he started getting up and sort of slowly prowling around this little perimeter.
That's fucking amazing.
It was the tensest, most crazy fucking moment I'd had in a game in a long time. And I still was like totally frozen up, and I still didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I was still just like zooming in on this guy. I'd like afraid to sort of like playing chicken, basically. Like I didn't want to take the first shot. And he started walking around, like there was a big machinery thing to the left of us, and he started walking around to the other side of it, behind me. And I couldn't tell which way he was going, because he had been patrolling back and forth for a while. And eventually, like all of a sudden out of nowhere, he just lunges at me from my left, and I'm like, oh my God. So I was just mashing buttons, like trying to get my shotgun out. My guy was like eating pills and like bandaging himself and like, oh my God. And I finally like just fought this guy off by just unloading like 18 shotgun shells into his face. But it was an amazing end, because I had spent so long trying to figure out like the perfect angle to just like one shot this guy in the head, and it ends with me just like flailing my arms frantically shooting my shotgun at every angle. It was, the whole thing was just incredible. Like you could not possibly script anything that good ever. I mean it was I had no idea that they could hear noises that your guns made.
It's like, so good that you swapping out one weapon into your stupid backpack woke up the monster.
Yeah. And the best part, it was probably the sound of like the animation of your the gun appearing on screen.
But
that's hilarious. So that actually propagates sound out into the world.
And the best part about it is that he didn't turn to face me. They animated the little thing of like him snorting and waking up, which is the best detail. I mean, that's just such a great thing to have in there.
And you're the only guy in the world that's seen it. And that's awesome.
God, there's so many cool moments in this game.
I mean, that's one of the things that I just generally love about the game, is that very like lightly punctuated pacing.
Totally.
You know, it's like completely. I spend, 90% of my time wandering around a really desolate wasteland and going back to town and everything, and maybe meeting like, a neutral party of stalkers walking down the street or something. And then, you're just kind of creeping around exploring this place quietly for like half an hour. And then you have some extreme firefight with like eight guys, and two of them have like exoskeletons and shit. And it takes like 10 minutes, and you just have this incredibly intense battle, and there's just like
Rainbow
gunfire
Six style tactical shit where you've got to like lean around a corner and take cover and like
and
the kind of game that I would never play normally,
and go flank guys, you distract them with a grenade and go around the other side of the building. And then there's like downtime where hopefully you survived, otherwise you've loaded quick saves a bunch of times, and you like kind of regroup and go through their pockets and get on your
rifling
way
through. You don't take too much stuff,
because if you hit take all the time, you're gonna have like 80 pistols in your pocket and not be able to walk. And it has that system shock two thing where
you can unload the ammo.
I go into their inventory, and that's what I do most of the time, is like, oh, this guy was carrying a shotgun, right click, unload, take the shells.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. It's this amazing thing that it is so immersive, and it's, I mean, something that works about it is, like, they've chosen a setting and a bunch of things to do that are, that video games are really good at supporting, right, right. You know? It's, like, relatively empty place where, at best, like, the people there kind of have a truce with each other, you know? Right. It's not, like, a really social place. It's sort of, like, guys that are just kind of...
Except for the secondary, yeah. Where everyone's just like,
hey, sup, bro?
That is some fun things to do around here.
Yeah.
I'm European.
It does have really bad and hilarious both English writing and voice acting.
Yeah.
Where you just, yeah, you walk into a camp.
With weird Russian accents, like yeah. Hardcore Russian accents.
You walk into a camp, people are just like, sup, bro?
Sup, bro? So good.
Howdy do? What?
Howdy do, stalker?
Yeah.
What? Why are you saying this?
It's really strange.
That's
yeah, it's really odd. All the ambient stuff, like in combat and whatnot, yeah. Is in Russian, and apparently you can like alter and update an INI or something to
just go
make
full Russian.
Yeah, to make it. Everything be Russian
or no but. Russian. Yeah. but really, I actually really kind of like the weird patchwork between English and Russian. I mean, even though the English voice acting is goofy as hell, like yeah. I like the weird notion that everything in this game is just cobbled together. Or not in this game, yeah. But in this world,
yeah.
Is just kind of like some people are speaking this language, right, some people are speaking like that language.
Weird
like,
cultural mishmash.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it implies a different setting where English is sort of the common language, a bunch of
right.
Among a bunch of expatriates or, right, that right. have been. Gathered into this place, whereas in fact they're all yeah. just supposed to be Russian,
right? Right.
But
to me, I like the
no,
result,
I mean, yeah.
even though it's weird.
Yeah.
There was also another one. I'm sorry to just keep telling moments, but it's like
Jake is
last
pissed
one,
off.
I promise.
Jake is fucking angry. He hates it when you talk on this podcast.
You must hate it a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Why isn't this Jake's podcast?
Tell us about the video games you played, Jake.
So, Chris, how was that emergent stalker story?
This one is actually the least emergent of them all, but it was
the opening
cool.
cutscene.
There are, there was, I was doing this mission at one point, just some random thing, and occasionally you do missions in sort of a squad, like you'll meet a guy and they'll go do a mission with you. So I had done this, actually it was a place we explored. So you remember that warehouse we explored with the invisible guys in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I ended up going back.
This game sounds pretty rad.
When I, yeah.
In fact, it is.
When I did
well,
it.
Well, I mean, that was like, sorry, the invisible guys are actually pretty interesting in yeah, a lot of ways. Like the only thing, right the only thing that's not invisible about them when they go invisible is their eyes.
Yeah. It's hardcore.
And so.
If it's in the dark, especially.
Well, so what I did is there was a guy that one of these guys appeared and it was like, it wasn't at night, but it was like kind of at dusk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had a flashlight and night vision, and I intentionally turned my flashlight off, but turned on night vision right. so that like his eyes wouldn't get lost in my flashlight beam, right, right. you know, but I could see them floating around better with night vision, and I owned him that way.
Nice.
Like that kind of stuff
I've never
is
done
really
that.
Interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you were fighting invisible guys in
yeah.
a warehouse.
And well, and when I did it, I was with a guy and I went through and we did this whole thing. And yeah. and I'm like, all right,
another AI fighting an invisible guy. That'd be interesting
yeah.
to see. I
yeah.
wonder if they just like
it was really helpful
know where
because
they
he
are.
Would call stuff out and like I would yeah. respond. But if we did this thing, and I'm like, all right, cool, dude, and whatever, we were done. And I would see that guy occasionally, like around, and I'd be like, hey, what's up, bro? And he would be like, sup, bro? and anyway, so
I believe it.
At one point, and then I did this other quest line where you. There's this, you know, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, but it's so vague that, you know, whatever. As you find out early on in the game, like, someone's been killing stalkers. And I found this guy, and one of the people he killed was my buddy.
Oh, shit.
And I was so bummed, because most of the NPCs in this game are totally disposable.
Yeah.
But when you do a mission with a guy, it's like, oh, man, I actually got tangible, like, benefit out of our relationship. And,
yeah.
like, this was cool. And like,
I hung out with that guy.
Yeah.
He saved my ass.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, cool. And I was so pissed. At this guy for killing this dude. And like, after I like exposed him and I was like, ah, you son of a bitch. And he knows there's like no way out of this. So he, like, all of a sudden he like brings out his pistol and points it at his head. And right before he takes his shot, I'm like, oh my God. And I like slammed my two to draw my pistol and shot him in the head right like, before he could pull his trigger. And it was the most satisfying, like, amazing thing.
Oh, that's badass.
It was it was incredible.
That's
like,
extreme.
It was totally unexpected. I had no idea it was coming. And
yeah.
like the just like quickly whipping it out and getting a shot off before he was
yeah.
able to do it himself was one of the absolute most triumphant I had in this game. That's God, so it was good. Cool. Yeah.
God damn it.
It's a good game.
It is.
It was that moment specifically was like very affecting. It was like a very like hard hitting, cool thing. That,
yeah. It's like an actual scene in a movie, but not one that anybody made up.
Yeah.
You just have it. That's badass. I mean, obviously him doing the suicide thing was like,
but I would imagine most people just,
but your reaction to it, you know, like
the game allowed me to do that. Whereas
and it actually motivated you through like, you know, there was a consequence based on an NPC that you would, you know, like that's really interesting. That's cool. Yeah. So get through the beginning.
Get through the part where you don't know what you're doing, which will be the case for everyone probably.
And dig into it, and it's fucking sweet.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Cool.
PC gaming. Cool.
PC game.
Video game.
Are we wrapping this up? Should we take a break and then read some mail from a reader?
We could talk a little bit about Resident Evil 5 DLC.
Oh yeah, you guys played that.
There's not too much for me to say, but
yeah, there's not a huge amount to say.
Steve, you have some things to say?
Well, I mean, yeah, so interesting phenomenon. I was reading. Okay, so Resident Evil 5 came out last year, and it's been out for a long time now, right? Like almost a year now.
Yeah,
I think.
I would say a year.
And they're releasing their first like single player DLC for it just now.
It's a little self-contained mission,
right? And so I mean, just the fact that it's coming out that long after the original game is kind of weird, but I was reading about it online and it was getting like really good reviews. Like Eurogamer gave it like a 9 out of 10, and so I was like, you know, I played pretty far through Resident Evil 5 and I wasn't super into it, but like from the reviews it talked about how it was like more about exploration and, you know, like atmosphere, and there were actually like puzzles and stuff you had to figure out, and it was really good. So I was like, all right. The thing about it is that it takes place in a mansion that's basically like the Resident Evil 1 mansion, you know, and
technically a different mansion.
Technically, but very much similar. And it's like Chris and Jill Valentine from, I don't know, 3 years before Resident Evil 5 or whatever. And it's just like a very differently paced experience, especially at the beginning, than Resident Evil 5 is, like the base game is. Like for the whole first part of
or
the
even four. I mean, it's pretty different.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the whole first part of the DLC makes a lot of very overt references to Resident Evil 1. Like it's very much it feels like, you know, a dude that they hired was a huge like Resident a Evil huge 1 fan and was like, okay, I want to do a DLC where you go back to the mansion, you know,
and like Jill picks a lock.
Yeah, yeah, because they have all these references and stuff, but also,
well, that's kind of cool since they're doing it with all the mechanics of 4 and 5.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Like, I mean, the
that doesn't bother me at all.
No, I think it's really good.
It wasn't that it bothered.
No, I think it's great.
You hate it.
That was fun. I liked it more than Resident Evil 5.
Yeah, but I mean, for the whole first part, which is like the mansion-y mansion part, the upstairs part, there's literally no enemies whatsoever.
I approve of that entirely.
Yeah, so I mean, you play for like, you know, I mean, just consider that you play probably half an hour, 45 minutes of Resident Evil 5 and there's no enemies on screen. And it's still really interesting because you go around and you know, it's a whole untying knot of you have to figure out how to unlock this door, and then you get the puzzle, you know, a piece of the puzzle and get back and all that kind of stuff. It's really cool. Then you go down into a lower part and it's more dungeony, and there are like, you know, scary monsters that chase you around and stuff.
With little co-op puzzles stuff.
Yeah. Which I also enjoyed.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
And then something stupid happens.
The worst fucking thing happens. Then that goddamn Wesker guy shows up. I still don't know
Wesker.
Who the hell. I mean, you know, admittedly, I'm not like super Resident Evil aficionado. Like, I don't follow the whole story, but
he has slick back hair and sunglasses.
This guy was that douchey looking guy who everyone freaks out whenever they show him in a trailer.
And apparently at some point he developed the powers of the Matrix.
Yeah, he just gets to appear in different places. For whatever reason,
he just teleports around and shit.
Yeah,
and so yeah,
and you get to fight him in the stupidest boss battle ever.
Yeah, so you do a bunch of interesting puzzle solvey and, you know, kind of boss, you know, like not boss battle, but you know, part of the stuff before that is there are these big powerful
bosses,
enemies that are wandering around.
Bosses. I would say they're miniature bosses.
Yeah, but they take
miniaturized boss.
Yeah. But in a really contrived and hilarious way, they take away all of your weapons and equipment and stuff. So you have to kill these mini bosses using the environment, and it's like interesting to actually put the pieces together and figure it out and time it and all that kind of shit. And then, yeah, the end is just a...
Wesker!
Yeah, Wesker appears and there's, like, an extended QTE kung fu battle.
Awful. That sounds awesome.
It's so bad.
Yeah,
it was like a weird combination of, like... mechanics and QTE stuff, because you sort of would shoot him sometimes, but you need to be in the right position to do a QTE at the right time.
And then there'd be a little cutscene, and then he would like teleport up to you. And yeah,
it took us so long to figure out even what to do.
Yeah,
and then even when we knew what to do, we died another 15 times because it's just not tuned very well.
But I mean, so in any case, the DLC
up till then it was fun.
Yeah, and the DLC is $5 and does a lot of really interesting things that are kind of intentionally the stuff that Resident Evil 4 and even more so Resident Evil 5 kind of ditched.
There was nothing like that whole totally first worth section. There wasn't even really anything in 4 like that, at least not for that length of time that I remember.
Puzzle assembly.
Yeah,
stuff?
Just being in a mansion and going around and finding things and unlocking.
Finding a crest and you know passwords.
Like that
and a
stuff was in
stuff.
RE4, but it was all you know split up by like enemies and stuff.
Yeah,
which was fine. That was a great game.
Yeah, but
this was different and it was cool.
Oh yeah, one of my favorite. I mean, this is a spoiler for anybody that plays it, but if you play it either co-op or finish it once and then start again, you can play as Jill and.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. But if you're playing as Jill, there's this puzzle where she has to play the piano open a secret door. And you actually have to do a QTE to play, Beethoven's Sonata number 14?
The Moonlight Sonata. Yeah,
the Moonlight Sonata. And so, like, it's funny that apparently they gave Jill the character trait of she can play the piano and Chris can't.
Yeah.
And so she goes up to the piano and like starts playing, you know, the first notes of it, and you have to like hit A and X like in a rhythm so that she won't fuck up and like finishes the song. That is one of the best things that a QTE could do. Especially
in
that context.
I'm not a QTE fan, but that was excellent. That was a totally acceptable, valid use of QTEs.
Really, it was just funny. It was just like really, I liked it a lot. So
me too.
Anyway, if you have Resident Evil 5 sitting around, or if you don't, like me, that was something that worked with fucking marketing world. Is they recently made Resident Evil 5 available for on demand through Xbox Live for like $30, and I didn't have a copy of Resident Evil 5. I had borrowed your copy.
So you paid $35.
I paid
$35
to play the $5 DLC.
Yeah,
because they made that a viable option, and I was like, and you know, that really worked out for them.
Yeah, good they work. They are a fan of getting your $35. Yeah.
And now congrats, you own RE5.
Exactly. Yeah. I could play through the rest of the chapters because I still have the save game from when I borrowed your game. I probably will now that I just have it. But they're also doing like a second half of this DLC that's coming out next month.
It's
just Wesker, the whole thing.
I gotta hope.
Wesker's Revenge.
As long as it's one half an hour long Wesker QTE fight.
God. Ours was half an hour long at least.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That's actually true.
Wrath of Wesker.
Yeah.
Wrath of Wesker.
Wrath of Wesker.
Wrath of Wesker.
Devious Durlock. Sorry, I was talking about Wrath Unleashed. Because you were talking about Wrath
Unleashed.
Oh, Wrath Unleashed. Yes.
The trailer that has a number of
Wesker
different lords.
Unleashed.
That was a fun thing.
Yeah, it was fun.
Chris and I apparently did more playing of video games together in the last week than we ever have in the past.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You guys are best buds.
Best video game buds.
That's true.
Jake didn't play a video game.
I didn't.
Although, you were going to play a video game.
Oh, do I have to talk about this?
With developers of video games. I mean, you don't have to, but it was kind of fun.
Oh, I thought you were talking about BioShock 2 when you said I was going to play a video game.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Jake tried to play that and was foiled by Live's sign-in system. But anyway.
That was terrible.
You also play Team Fortress 2 all the time.
And I'm really bad at it
on Steam constantly.
Yeah.
What do you play as?
Really? But you're on your team. You're on your developer's official team, right?
I know. Yeah.
So there's
What's your guy that you play as?
As a demo man.
Oh, you play as a demo man? I like that guy.
Huh? He's a good man. He throws grenades
at
the face.
He's a good man and thorough.
He's a good man, that demo man, and thorough. Demo man will apparently check your balls for fertility.
I guess he will.
Some people at Telltale, we've been playing a lot of TF just because it's a fun game.
More like TF2.
We were playing QWTF.
Nice.
It's a game you can just play at lunch quickly and it's good. But enough of us are playing now that we ended up entering against a bunch of other game studios. So maybe next time we cast, I'll tell you about how we lost to some
Bio Blizzia.
Bio Blizzia is later, but for now it's Volbine, I think, is the team.
So Volition and Turbine?
Yeah.
Why does Telltale really Games have enough people to field a whole team?
That's my favorite thing.
Blizzard, Electronic Arts, BioWare, Turbine, and Volition, they have to like team up in these little cabals Telltale Games. Telltale Games versus the world.
Yeah, it's this like this small adventure game company is going to show up all with like the one side of the scoreboard is going to be this group with matching tags.
And the other is the ragtag.
And then,
So they're already the underdog, so you're already at the disadvantage because they're already the ragtag group of scrappy like freedom fighters.
That's true. They've got heart, and we're the soulless corporate juggernaut going up against. Yeah,
they also have like the best from each studio combined into one mega team.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the people who are enthusiastic enough about playing Team Fortress and who play on the interstudio server often enough that they just are going to destroy a team of 12 adventure game developers. Who don't honestly play that many games? Yeah, just by me existing.
I mean, you don't think of developers of point and click adventure games as being like super competitive FPS.
We're gonna chainsaw your face, like no. So yeah,
no, we decided not to.
But it is enjoyable to me that
we need to get the gas for the chainsaw first.
One of the teams,
it's in the shed, but the shed is locked. Fuck. The key is in the drain.
Yeah, we were talking about
Cliffy B just bust down the door.
Yeah, we were talking about that, about just making the most obnoxious sprays in the entire world. Because there's going to be 12 potential sprays from
all the adventure developers. You should make a cat hair mustache, whatever the hell
right,
it was.
Everyone.
Honey on the cat hair makes a mustache.
Sprays Bosley costumes, or whatever the guy's name is. Bogsworth. Frank no Mustacheman.
No one knows.
But yeah, I enjoy that one of the teams is a combination of people from Blizzard and people from BioWare. It's weird. Yeah. That's all.
BioWare.
Yeah.
BioBlizz.
BlizzoWare.
So, we're definitely going to just get fucking owned.
Are you sure? You guys have unity on your side. You guys actually all play together.
Yeah, you've got team cohesiveness.
Yeah, those guys
have suckiness. So.
Oh, that's not... Why would you choose that attribute?
Oh, I don't know. It was a crap roll. Yeah.
Well, it lets you put more points into other attributes, like making adventure games.
Like friendship and togetherness.
Like making adventure games.
We'll see.
It's not helpful with Team Fortress.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's because you're concentrating on things other than Team Fortress 2.
I see.
It's the second one.
Want to take a break? Do some reader mail?
Yeah.
All right.
Did I ever tell you? I told you guys about how I loaded up my original Space Quest collection from before Space Quest 6 came out on my laptop when I was in Texas, and they had like behind the scenes videos on it that like some Sierra employees
I saw those back in the day.
Yeah, some Sierra employees pretended to be like investigative reporters, like visiting the Sierra offices. Yeah, it's the most so painful good. Thing.
Yeah.
It's horrific. All like they go and talk to like the two guys from Andromeda, and they say something totally random. And it's, you know how having a laugh track makes most things less funny?
Mm-hmm.
This thing really could have used a laugh track.
That reminds me a lot of, did you see the one that Lucasfilm Games made right when they were moving out of the ranch? That was the most awkward video. It's on YouTube somewhere. It's just an old internal Lucas video from some, like, they made for some company meeting where it claims to be, like, the crazy, like, 80s flipping through the channels, goods on. So it has the fake DeVry ad. And
that's the most hilarious, like, lame ass like idea for an intro to a segment. Like I remember kids when I was like in middle school and high school in like the, you know, school TV station thing. Like that was how half of everything started. It seems
exactly.
like
yeah, no, totally.
Because exactly like the first idea.
Yeah, totally.
So do you think that was like Lucas's idea? Or?
I'm pretty sure that he wrote and directed that segment about the games division leaving the ranch for their new building.
Hmm.
All right, well, I got a whole bunch of emails marked.
Let's read them.
Yeah.
Because we're back, and we have been through this whole conversation.
All right.
That's just good radio.
Fact.
We're back. And here's some reader mail.
Games.
I like this mail.
Patrick Carter writes, so after completing Batman Arkham Asylum recently, which I entered with high expectations, I was disappointed. My question is, are there any games which have been well received and you can tell are good, but you personally didn't click with? Patrick Carter, Patters from the forum. Yeah, I mean, I would say that happens a fair amount with me.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a question of what he means by "and you can tell are good."
Well, I mean,
Mario 64.
Yeah, that's definitely an example for me. Like, I totally understand. Like,
biggest example made ever.
Yeah, like God of War is another one for me.
Mm.
Like, I can totally understand why so many people like that game. Like, what is good about it and what's well made about it? But I just get it. Just it bores me very quickly, so I can't play very much of it.
I mean, I guess that's kind of how it is for me with a lot of the kind of stuff we were talking about at the beginning of this podcast, like Civ or most Blizzard games. You know, it's just sort of like, I can tell that they did a good job at making a game for someone who isn't me.
Right.
And, you know, that's fine. I guess it mostly comes down to, yeah, taste in kind of genres or just the overall tenor of the stuff that you do in a game. You
right.
know, you could make an awesome, incredibly awesome turn-based World War One game, and maybe I could look at it and tell it would be a good one of those, but I don't think I'd play it.
Yeah.
It's just not the same without Nick.
Because he would be psyched on the turn-based World War One games?
Yeah.
Yeah. As would Chris.
I don't play as many of those.
Do you play... You don't really play any of the turn-based, like, war games at all?
Not really. I mean, Civ isn't really a war game.
No, well, that's yeah. I mean, the other stuff.
Like a Civilization.
Yeah, more like Iron Hearts or something like
Hearts
that.
Of Iron, Hearts yeah, of Iron. No, yeah. I mean, like
Iron Hearts.
Yeah, I have played some of that stuff, but I've never really gotten into it in a big way. It's that stuff is super hardcore.
Yeah,
I think Nick's played some of that stuff, but I think even Nick doesn't get super into it.
It's basically anything that we aren't into. I'm just going to say that Nick would love it now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nick loves Heavy Rain.
That's true.
He does. I think it's his favorite game. I think it's his goatee.
Heavy Rain is your goatee.
It's like a reveal. That's a surprise. Heavy Rain was my goatee all along. It's the twist. It's the twist in the M. Night.
That's a weird fucking twist.
I know. You never saw it coming.
No, I definitely didn't.
I never cared that was the twist.
Sotos writes, "Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'm pretty glad you guys are back, but the last few months were agonizing without anything to listen to. Anyway, I was listening to the latest episode at the train station when you read the email about the reader whose daughter associates the cast with a horse bag. The podcast had me sniggering, but this brought me over the edge and I lost my shit. Unfortunately, there was a weird guy standing on the platform as well, and he thought I was laughing at him. I tried to calm him down, but words were exchanged, and we got into a bit of a scrap and a fist fight. And I have a few bruises and a stupid story to tell. Thanks, Thumbs. Sotos."
Oh, Jesus, man. Really?
So those people on the Idle Thumbs forums were saying we need to stop talking about old references to the, you know, they were right. Because
that happens?
Because now dudes are going to get their ass beat up if we keep talking about horse bags and stuff like that.
So a guy actually got attacked?
Took a fucking punch for a horse
Jesus.
Bag. His love for Thumbs.
Man, I mean, that's something that is pretty frequently noted is like, "Thanks, guys. I was on the bus and I was cracking up, and the old lady across from me gave me a weird look."
Yeah. Right.
Apparently, sometimes it's dangerous.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe this will happen more often.
Yeah. Please write in. We could just change the dream thing to
times I got my ass kicked because of Idle Thumbs.
I hope there's enough to do it every week. I mean, you know, purely out of interest. Randall Thiel writes, "Greetings, Thumbs. I was wondering if any of you have played an early 90s PC game called Buzz Aldrin's Race into Space. It's a simulation type game where you control the American or Soviet space programs from 1955 to 1977. The goal is to beat the other superpowers to a man, or the other superpower to a man lunar landing. I found about this game recently and downloaded the freeware version, which is available at raceintospace.org. It's well-made and really addicting, but also goddamn impossible. I played a Soviet game on the easiest difficulty. I swear I did everything right. No fatalities, few breakdowns, steady research and progress. But the savants at NASA, who killed dozens of astronauts and failed every milestone, still managed to soar past me in the late 60s and land a survivor on the moon in 1972. Bullshit. Yet I kept playing. If you haven't checked this game out, I highly recommend it. Thanks for reading my email, Randall File."
If the Russian campaign lets you launch dogs and monkeys into space, I'll play this game.
Oh, man. You know what's funny about this game?
I've actually heard of this game
before. Yeah, me too. Actually,
I've heard positive things about it before. People love it.
Oh, really? I never heard anything about it. All I knew about this game was that it was advertised in every issue of like the Sierra newsletter that they packaged with all their games. Like Sierra and LucasArts both used to publish little like catalog newsletter like things.
Right. Yeah, except the LucasArts one was sweet.
It was way better. Yeah, the Adventure. But the I was really into space at the time.
At the time, you were into space. At one point in your life,
I was. I had a lot
of
books.
You're into space. You're notorious for being a lover.
But I don't actually know things. Like at the time, I actually read about like quasars and like you know physics and stuff. Like I actually was genuinely into space.
You know that you love the moon.
Space is sweet. Yeah, but I don't know anything about it. I'm much stupider now. Like I, you know,
than you were when you were nine.
Yeah, however old. Yeah,
sucks.
You're stupid about the moon now.
Yeah.
You were moon smart before.
I was moon smarter. but no, I totally remember seeing ads for this game all the time.
Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin's Race into Space. And I really wanted it. And for some reason, I just never like went out.
Why race into space when you can fly an X-Wing?
Yeah.
That's a fair question.
Buzz Aldrin's X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Chuck Yeager's X-Wing.
Into space.
But
these
yeah,
Soviet X-Wings fucking suck.
Well, yeah, you can control the Soviets or the Galactic Empire.
Mm.
It's an unbalanced.
It's an alternate history thing. That does sound like a horrible nerdy, where like...
The Soviets launch a monkey into space that dies, and the Empire shows up in the Death Star and blows up Earth. Yeah. It's kind of shit. I read about that in the Sierra newsletter for some reason.
Oh, man, weird. Do they make that game, or do they just document the
event? It was a rare crossover event.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
What am I saying? Sorry.
But no, now that I know that you can play this game for free on the internet, I should
do
that.
You can live out your childhood dream.
My long dead dream of playing Buzz Aldrin's Race into Space. Not of actually going into space or anything, but of playing the video
game. I've always wanted this to go into space. No, to play Buzz Aldrin's Race into Space from Sierra Online, from Online Systems.
Online Systems. Yeah.
Well,
cool.
I'm glad you'll be able to fulfill your dreams.
I know. All my hopes and dreams will
this
come
is
through.
Your video game dream, Chris. We've been
I can write into
for
us.
For months we've been reading other people's dreams, and now finally, this is yours. And it's also when you're going to get punched in the face by Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, man. Buzz Aldrin got me punched in the face by him. That is one of my favorite videos ever, by the way. Is Buzz Aldrin punching a guy? Yeah.
Well, that's because he'll be confused because you'll tell him, wait, so is this the actual moon landing?
Did you guys just film someone playing Buzz Aldrin's Race into Space?
He'll fucking punch you because he'll think you were laughing at him when you were laughing at a horse bag.
Buzz Aldrin thought someone was laughing at him not really landing on the moon, but it was just horse bag.
It was just a wee horse riding peripheral that may or may not exist.
God, I forgot that's even what it was. All right. Dear the Idle Thumbs podcast, writes Hello. Craig
nice.
Ostrom.
Good work.
I dreamt
I'm proud
I was
of you.
A wizard last night.
Oh.
Oh, man. I was proud of that guy for about six words.
Oh, man.
Because he said the Idle Thumbs podcast.
So right until he said last night, you were fine with you mean including the.
Yeah.
So basically, Dear the Idle Thumbs podcast, I dreamt was what you were psyched about. It was one of those video game dreams where I was in the game and everything looked real, but I also felt my hands on the keyboard and mouse controlling myself. I was in
I had one of those.
Oh yeah?
Maybe it was that
I had that
about
peripheral.
The creature.
What?
They could talk. You remember?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was in a big battle royale with five or six other people. I was fighting two of them who turned out to be my best friends from elementary school. I opened up a diplomacy window with one, promising to buy him drinks for a week in exchange for an alliance. My other friend was a massive warrior with a huge battle axe, but I kited him around the room using Cone of Cold. Yes, the Dragon Age cone graphic appeared on the floor when I aimed it, and Winter's Grasp. I played a mage in Dragon Age, and all the keybinds were the same in my dream. Unlike in Dragon Age, I was able to jump really high and teleport, which was sweet. Just as I got my friend's health bar to zero, I woke up. Anyway, I like the new video games. Okay. It's like you guys have been doing it for a long time.
That's
like,
true, too.
Since October 11, 2008, or maybe the 10th. Looking forward to future episodes, Craig.
Did he say that part?
Yes.
He had the date in there?
Yeah.
All right. Sweet.
Well, congratulations on having a dream about Cone of Cold.
Yeah. It was the coldest cone.
I'm glad that you could defeat your friend's hit points.
Well, one of them he diplomacied.
Well, he diplomacied one by buying him drinks. The other one he hit pointed.
Until he woke up.
Yeah.
But here's the fucking crazy thing. He got woken up by a phone call from his other friend that said that friend was dead in real life. And then he looked at his hand and there was a cone of cold coming out of it. What?
And then just before he left, the friend was like, so when are you going to buy me that drink?
Well,
and
that guy's
that all zoomed out, and the gatefold to a Dragon Age box closed, and it said
Dragon Age rated M for mature.
That game's fucked up. That's the new DLC, I think, actually.
Oh, nice. Oh, my God. The DLC is called Awakening.
No!
Okay. So what's the next reader mail?
Jeff Moeller writes, EA presents Idle Thumbs Dreams
Part 2. Oh, it's EA Presents.
Two,
it's the gifts that EA will be giving to gamers.
Oh, EA Presents, Idle Thumbs Dreams Part 2, The Reckoning. Hey, the Idle Thumbs podcast. I like that that's what everyone says now, I guess.
That's good. They're getting it right. Attention, yeah. People who keep calling us Idle Thumbs. We are absolutely not associated with Idle Thumbs.
We
are the Idle Thumbs podcast. You can get to us at idlethumbs.net, where there's the Idle Thumbs blog and episodes of Idle Thumbs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, the Idle Thumbs podcast. I had another dream you might like. In it, I was with Chris, Jake, and Nick. Sorry, Steve. And we were on
it's totally cool. I actually don't want to be in dude's dreams.
You don't want to be the man of his dreams?
I'm fine without it.
Okay. And we were on a mini pirate ship at the beach. A mini pirate ship.
Wait, shit. Now I do want to be in that dream.
It's not a... I like that it's not a small... Just like a small ship. It's a mini... Does Which, that mean
that
it's
sort of
too small
a
for
little,
us
like,
to...
Goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little sort of... Or he just is being polite and not wanting to say that we were all in a barrel together.
Skull and crossbones painted on the side.
Yeah.
We were racing other ships, except... It was like the race was turn-based. Eventually, Nick decided to leave and join a different crew, like the traitor he is. After the race was over, Nick went up to whoever was in charge of the race and told him something, which resulted in him coming out and yelling that the three of us were disqualified. What? Nick, you son of a
this
bitch.
This is a weird dream this guy had. It makes me uncomfortable.
Then we all yelled variations of, fuck you, Nick. That's the best I can remember. Jeff.
Wow.
Man, what? I don't know about that.
That guy felt very abandoned and betrayed by Nick. He also felt like he was the third extra person on this podcast.
Wait, this email's from Steve Gaynor.
Oh, man.
It isn't.
Mark
it's
Miltenberg
fine.
Writes, you guys killed my technology. Hey, Chris, Video Games and Steve. With the advent of your return, I was thrilled. I was awake and watching Twitter when you tweeted that your podcast was up, and I immediately downloaded it. Tweets. Unfortunately, it was almost 1 a.m., and I had to go to work the next morning, so I went to sleep before listening. I figured I'd listen to you guys as soon as I got to work, and I was super excited. I turned off my laptop and left for work, and 20 minutes later, I attempted to start my laptop up. The display didn't work. My current theory is that the blaze of glory that accompanied your arrival reverberated through the circuits and destroyed my laptop. My friend also has a problem we feel you caused, and that is... computer's sound got killed and his computer froze entirely when he tried to listen to your podcast.
Oh, is that the viruses that you guys put in the...
Yeah,
we put a worm.
Yeah.
There was a pod worm in there.
We've licensed it to Ubisoft for their upcoming DRM solution.
Yeah. So
jeez.
When your screen sort of starts glitching out and a laughing skull shows up on it and then someone says baboo.
Man, Jake, do you remember like 5 years ago you and I wanted to make an adventure game that just consisted of like a room.
It was you in a shitty apartment or something, but trapped by yourself,
right? In like an apartment, and like we were gonna put just a bunch of objects that couldn't interact with each other.
Yeah,
and a bunch
you could
of puzzles
always, you could
that
always
couldn't
get
be
like 2 steps into a puzzle solution
right.
before just realizing that there was nothing else to do.
And then 3 minutes in, it would just make a really loud noise, and a huge face would cover the screen.
Yes.
Why didn't we ever make that? That would have been funny.
I don't know. I have a pencil sketch still of the room.
Oh man.
So
nice. You just spoiled it. You could have made it. You still can. Hey guys, just forget everything they just said. That was just a
don't
joke.
Don't listen to that part.
Because that game is so gold that it has to be made and played unspoiled.
Yeah.
I forgot that it was supposed to end with a face showing up on screen. I don't remember that.
That was the best part. That was the whole point. It would force you to like pay attention to like really get intense trying to figure out these puzzles. And then it would be like that.
It was a horrible internet thing. I think it was originally just supposed to say you're actually stuck and your life is terrible. But then we decided instead
to make it
a horrible bullshit internet thing, but require interactivity
it's
and investment.
It's the adventure game version of one of those YouTube
like top
videos.
10 cutest kittens or whatever.
Yeah. And then a weird zombie man pops up on screen.
I think there is one at this point where you have to solve a maze and then a thing shows up.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, even that's been around years and
lame maze.
I don't like things that scare me on the internet. Like stuff like that. Honestly, it's obnoxious to me because every once in a while,
I mean, it's not supposed to be happy time for you. It's funny for the guy who made it.
Yeah. But it's also just like, oh man, What if there's, I'm not sure what this video is. What if it ends with a sudden guy jumping up and screaming? That would suck.
Yeah, now it's always happened. You can't watch videos anymore.
I do watch video time.
Wants permission to use your webcam. I'm surprised actually that hasn't happened yet. Because Flash stuff at this point can just access webcam drivers.
Yeah.
So just ask that innocuously. People will say, yeah, sure, because people are stupid. And then it will just capture and send back to their server a video of you being
just
ruined.
Just hanging out.
Right. Then the game scares the shit out of you. And that's when it's
with yourself? I see what you mean.
I mean,
to get your reaction. It records your reaction. Poop in your pants.
Yeah, the game just turns the camera on like 2 seconds before.
The guy who keeps his webcam pointed at his butt is super screwed because now they have footage of poo coming out.
It would be the worst because you would end up getting videos sent back that are of the chat roulette style of just a dude.
Yeah, what is chat roulette? All of a sudden, everyone's talking about
it. And then suddenly screaming. No!
Oh, that is the video that should never be seen.
Oh my god.
That's horrible. Well, that's Idle Thumbs.
See you guys later.
Thanks for listening to.
Oh, sorry. That's the siren that means we're not done yet.
Oh, it just means that if you would like to write in to Idle Thumbs...
Oh, right.
If you'd like to write into the Idle Thumbs podcast, you can write into questions@idlethumbs.net, and we will read them or not.
Correct.
We read the good ones, and even those Chris skims through half of it.
Yeah.
Well, on the air. It's
what
polite.
Can you do?
questions@idlethumbs.net, or you can call our phone number.
Oh, yeah. We haven't checked that answering machine in
a
long time.
We do have a phone number that we forgot about for months. And it's 55WizardOn.
Yeah.
We got to figure out a new thing that spells so that we don't have to say wizard.
55WizardNo.
Well, yeah.
He's still going to say wizard, I think. Sorry.
So, yeah. Pick up your phone and call 55WizardOn. You can, have fun with that.
We've had less success with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But...
maybe yours will be good.
We're still talking.
Why are we still talking? All right, bye. My eye hurts.
This is the worst podcast.
Video game.
Idle Thumbs is recorded live at Schizo Chimp Productions.
Civilization 5.
5.
Yeah. Civilization 6-sided tiles.
Nice.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, me too. Lame.
I can get behind being obsessed with TurboGrafx-16 way more than Sonic the Hedgehog, frankly.
You're weird.
Don't call me weird.
You're a normal guy.
Thank you.
Blah, 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 Civ 5, fucking pizza guys, video games. That's a cast.
It's a pod blast. It's a pod shit. We just shit this out and put it on the internet. Yeah. Hope you like it, dickheads.